When you're a parent, you are making choices for your children day in, day out. And life throws plenty of curveballs at you and your family, whether it's health, financial, emotional challenges. So how do we weather life's challenges? How do you make the right choices for ourselves and those who depend upon us? Michigan writer Robert O'Million's been tackling those key questions in his book, No Fear, No Doubt, No Regret, Investing in Life's Challenges Like a Warrior. It's published by Fern Press of Northville. His insights were hard won as he walked a journey alongside his son, Alan. Alan was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy when he was a very small boy, and it was a disease that claimed his life in July of 2010. Robert O'Million joins us in the studio now. Welcome to Stateside, Robert.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Your book tracks your life as well as your son Alan's life. Take us back to the early days. When did you first realize that something was not as it should be in Alan's development?
It was early. He was less than 1 year old, and he hadn't walked yet. And we were concerned about that, but, you know, we had a lot of the family members saying, well, you know, don't pick him up so much. He's just, you know, too used to you holding him. But one day, right after his first birthday, he got a really high fever. And we took him to the doctor, and the doctor said, wasn't really too worried about the fever. What she was worried about was she saw a spread in the back where his tailbone is.
Mm-hmm.
And she was concerned about that. That began the journey of just countless doctor's appointments, trying to understand what he really had. And even, you know, to the day he passed away, we never really knew.
You never really knew? Wow.
What we knew was a form of muscular dystrophy, but what kind, never certain. It was a very aggressive form, though.
So, which meant what? How did it take its
toll? He would walk and run. You know, I had him playing baseball. Even though he would trip and fall, I still wanted him to experience everything his younger brother was doing. You know, that was the one thing my wife and I decided. He was not going to be left out of a thing. As much as we could do, we were going to have him be mainstream on everything. And that really gave him the courage to believe in himself. So we had him in baseball. We took him to rides. We would be sweating, thinking, is he going to hold on when, you know, he's on these rides? But, you know, he always managed to do it. He found a way. And then around fifth grade, sixth grade, started falling a lot more. We put him in braces. And then finally, eventually, he went into a wheelchair.
He knew that that was the ultimate, that was what was going to happen.
Yeah.
So by the time he went to high school, he was wheelchair bound.
He was wheelchair bound and in a motorized wheelchair at that point. But it was when he moved from, and this is interesting about his life story, he was mainstream, always mainstream. But before he was in the wheelchair was the different than when he went into a wheelchair. People's responses to him changed.
In what way?
Well, he was very bright. He was always top of his class. In sixth grade, he had to now rely upon some friends to take notes for him because his arms were getting weaker and he no longer could walk as much. All of a sudden, there was like a mask got ripped off of some parents where now they were wondering, is he getting special favors? Because somebody was taking notes for him. And, you know, the rule is when you have to dictate things like he had to with math, he could no longer write it out, you give them more time. Well, we started hearing comments of, well, how can it be possible that a son or a boy who's in a wheelchair who needs help, how could they be doing better than our children?
Oh, boy.
And so Alan would hear this, and he lived by this one thing. He was not going to be defined by his disease or by his problems. And Alan took the approach, I'm going to make this work. I'm going to be as mainstream as these other people because I like this. I can be challenged by my peers who know as much more than I do, and he wanted that growth experience. He didn't want to be separated from anybody.
And your book, No Fear, No Doubt, No Regret, tracks his course through Catholic Central and then his scholarship to the University of Michigan.
Right.
So he did work hard. He had to do 200% where everybody else might have done 100% just to make sure that people didn't think he was getting special treatment.
Oh, it was always that way, you know, that he had to overcome things. But he inspired the boys around him. Through this. And to this day, there are a couple of special friends who they tell me that their life is forever changed by him, by Alan.
Now, as he went through the University of Michigan, his disease was taking a greater toll. So did he wind up actually graduating?
He graduated, but he never saw his degree because there was one class that he needed. And he was really weak at that point. And we tried to ask the University of Michigan, can you waive it? And they were working on it. But he passed away. And to U of M's credit, and they did the most beautiful thing, is they came to the funeral home, one of the directors, and he looked at me, he shook his head, and he said, I got to get that degree for Alan. And he called me back 3 weeks later and said, we have the degree, and we're going to have a special ceremony for him. And they did. A cellist.
Boy.
And refreshments. They brought in professors, people that knew Alan. It was a beautiful, beautiful moment.
I'm speaking with Robert O'Million, his book, No Fear, No Doubt, No Regret, Investing in Life's Challenges Like a Warrior. From your journey with Alan, and what did you are able to spell out what you call 9 insights that will help us recognize, as you say, and act on the blessings we get on a daily basis. And you call that a warrior response. How much of that warrior response did you learn from Alan?
I learned it all from Alan. It's just right up front. I would not have seen what I've seen in life if it wasn't for him. Because he taught me that fundamental principle. It's not what happens to you, but how you respond that defines who you are. And we took that approach almost every situation. And because of his illness, we experienced what it really means when they say the only thing you can count on in life is change. Many of us spend our lives constantly trying to stop change, keep things constant. We feel good that way.
Comfortable.
Yeah. With Alan, as he got sicker and sicker, that was not possible. And it's very uncomfortable to find comfort and a peace in that environment. So what we wound up doing was becoming more aware of what was happening around us. We had no choice. We had to always be open to, all right, how can we get in this building here? Mm-hmm. What kind of adjustment do I have to make to his chair? How can we help him at school so he can still continue to learn? And what we found is, we read about the miracles, and you tend to think you got to be somebody special to see miracles in life or experience special things. Turned out that I think it's in everybody's life. It's right in front of us every day, but you got to be aware of it. And, for me, I had to give up my need as a father to want to control. I couldn't solve it. I couldn't explain it. And most of the time, you just walk away when you feel that way as a man, speaking personally. But Alan taught me another way.
And that was?
It's a contradiction in a sense. I had to give up control to find the alternate way. I had to say, I have no control over this situation. I just have to be now open to what's going on here. And then I started seeing people come into our lives. You'd hear things. Something would appear that, say, where was this before? Well, it was always there. I just wasn't aware of it because I was too busy trying to control and just keep things comfortable.
And by writing your book, No Fear, No Doubt, No Regret, and spelling out these 9 insights, what are you trying to tell your readers? What are you hoping people will get from Alan's story and your story?
Well, I wrote it for parents who are going through something similar. When my wife, Gwen, and I were going through this, you're in the action all the time. There's no time to sit back and ponder it. I think if we did sit back and ponder it, we would have just lost it because it's devastating to lose a child. But when you're going through the battle, it's nice to know you're not alone. And I wrote the book for other parents to know you're not alone. And maybe in case you haven't experienced something similar, I want to just share with what I found.
So to someone who's listening to us right now talking, and maybe they are in those early stages of fear at whatever challenge has been thrown at them, what encouragement would you offer them?
There is hope in any situation. And, life is not a marathon. You don't fail because your child gets sick and dies early. You need to just take what you have right in front of you at the moment. For Alan, his best day was yesterday, and we knew that. So we really learned to live in the moment, appreciate him for what was going on right there. How many times I came home from work, and I just sat and listened to him and let him talk. And his excitement just was wonderful. And so I guess, pay attention to what you have right now, and don't ask the question too much, why is this happening to me? You know, what did I do wrong? Because you didn't do anything wrong. It's just what happens in life. And if you stop and just look at what you have, there's a lot of good there that can make you feel good and give you peace.
And what's the significance of the no fear, no doubt, no regret?
The first night after he passed away, I woke up in a cold sweat, and I heard his voice. I mean, I could hear him talking to me. And he said, no fear, no doubt, no regret. That's what I wrote down side of my bed, and I just put it away. And I felt like he was telling me, don't fear the future. Don't doubt anything that happened here, and don't regret what you did for me because I'm okay. That's what I initially felt. When I write in the book, I had two-thirds of it completed, and my original intention was to write my element and then Alan would write his version of the same thing. Well, we never got there. So I had to write a conclusion, and in the end, I put in no fear, no doubt, no regret, which is really past, present, future when you look at the words. And it matches the approach I took, which is you got to be a warrior for this. You know, not only a warrior for your child, but for yourself. That's not all over because there's a disease there.
The book is No Fear, No Doubt, No Regret, Investing in Life's Challenges Like a Warrior, written by Robert O'Millian. And where can people find your book, Robert?
It's on Amazon.com. You can go to my website, which is robertomillionbooks.com. And it's at Nicola Books in Ann Arbor. And hopefully I can get it in other places quite soon.
And spread the word.
That's right.
Thanks for joining us
Thank
today
you
on
so
Stateside.
Much. Thank you.
The National Association of Book Entrepreneurs recently awarded Robert's book, No Fear, No Doubt, No Regret, the 2013 Pinnacle Award for Parenting and Family Books.